Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Attaboy. All right, Paul Hamilton with us now on the West Her Hotline. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. Right, Bulldog?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Beautiful day. Yeah. Beautiful day.
Beautiful day is right. Yep.
So before we get into your conversations, if you will, with a couple of, I want to say, new Sabres. One is Mark Pesek, who is an old Sabre, too. This Jason Garrett business, I mean, this is a subject that comes up every once in a while. Should, you know, a reporter call a coach or something else? Here's Garrett today, an assistant with the Giants now, admonishing the media for not calling him coach. Like, just, I think, wow, Paul. Have you had interactions like that? I mean, you want to talk about what you would do in a situation like this or something?
I think that's a lot of arrogance by him to insist upon that. For me, and I'm a little different when it comes this way, I was kind of brought up that way. It hasn't been that long. Maybe I always called Lindy Ruff coach. It's my way. And, you know, I'm around a coach, I call him coach. I've always been that way. I've gotten away from it a little bit just because it all of a sudden became a thing that, and to me, it was a show of respect to a coach that I would call him coach, and it was, for me, the second nature. Mm-hmm. But again, that was just the way I handled things, and I know a lot of people don't. I don't look down on people who don't, you know, who use first names for coaches, and I just don't understand. I mean, Jason Garrett looks awful by doing that. I mean, come on. And again, any respect people had for him, I think you lose a lot of respect by showing that type of arrogance. You know, if they call you coach, fine. If they don't, fine too. If you don't like it, go in private and have a fit over it. But to sit there at a press conference and show that kind of arrogance, just to me is, you know, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, because of my age, Paul, I would say the same as you. Like, I don't know when I stopped doing it. But I know I definitely did it, and I think I've even done it to guys who I've been talking to that coached Owen, like just in casual kind of like, well, mm-hmm. coach, here's the, you know, whatever, just not even really thinking twice about it. But I'm also sure in each of those interactions that maybe other times I referred to them by their first names. It just is not, to me, the problem is demanding it.
Right.
Is
totally
ridiculous.
Totally,
like, I'm not gonna look funny or like down on you if you call Don Granato coach. You know, I might look at somebody funny if they call him Donnie Meatballs in a news conference. Like, that would be preposterous. But if you want to refer to him as coach and you work for WGR, like, okay, fine. I don't have an issue with it. But if he insists that everyone call him coach, now we got a problem.
Yeah, I still do it upon occasion because it just comes out. As I said, because it's kind of my way, but as I said, I've semi gotten away from it fairly recently. I would say maybe in the last 5 years or so. But you know, you can go back, as I said, as far as Lindy Ruff, I called him coach quite often.
It's interesting how your age might shape that. You know, like
and it's just, you know, being in sports all my life through college, you know, and you know, that's, I always called coach. I had coach. And I think I carried that on past that, mm-hmm. Showing a coach respect that way. I, as I said, it was the way I brought up, and I felt it that way. But people are brought up differently now than they were back when I was brought up and played sports and that kind of thing. And, you know, things are different.
Sometimes if the relationship, if I can call it a relationship, like in the media, you might have regular interactions with somebody, but you don't really sort of you know, you're not really close at all, and you don't really sort of, you can be antagonists at times. And not that thought really has to go into it, but I would always want to use the first name. I don't see that as disrespectful. It's also sort of a way, if you're me or one of us, in sort of, in a maybe even subconsciously, you're sort of getting across, I don't work for you, right? So I don't play for you. I'm not somebody that has to do what you say, something
right.
like
We're
that.
We're not on the same team.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, you know, it's not strategy. I'm not saying all that, you know, has gone into my thinking about this, but it sort of it feels right. You know, you sort of establish, I'm not one of your players. So, you know, like, as you're saying, different ways of looking at it.
Sure, and I've never looked down on somebody who calls a coach by their first name. It's just, you know, what I had preferred for many, many years.
Yep. Okay, so Vinny Hinostroza, if I have that right.
You do?
Let's get right to it. He has Josh Allen in fantasy.
Yeah, he does. He said he's been to Bills games, and I don't know how many, but he said, yeah, Josh Allen has always been his fantasy football quarterback, so I'm sure that endears him with Bills fans right away. So, and, you know, and this happens with coaches. I mean, how many Carolina Panthers showed up under, you know, the current administration in Buffalo? And I think we're starting to see people who have had chances with Don Granato, in this case as an assistant coach with the Chicago Blackhawks, and you know, he said that's kind of what put him over the top, is having a 40-minute conversation with Granato just to hear what the Sabres are about, what he's going to make them about, how the team's going to play, those types of things. He said that pretty much swayed him to a point, because he was a free agent last year, signed in Florida, and it totally didn't work out. I mean, he wasn't getting any ice time. He wasn't even dressing for games. He played 9 games. He said he played 4 or 5 minutes a game, and was thankful when the Panthers traded him to Chicago, because he got a chance to show his stuff again and to be able to play a little bit. And, you know, he is what he is. I mean, I think he has a little bit higher opinion of himself than what's going to, you know, he was talking like a second or third line type of guy, which, no, he's not. He's not in the top six type of a forward, but definitely a guy that is not going to embarrass you out there, is going to kill penalties as fast, likes to be first on the puck on the forecheck type of a player, you know, somebody that can play in your bottom six and you hope that maybe you can get some production out of also while he's doing it. I'm not real enthralled with the size, 5'9", but, you know, I just would like to see this team get a little bit bigger with players that can play the game, not just for the sake of getting bigger.
Right. So this is a player that's, you expect squarely in the plans for the big team, right? Like, the Sabres have signed so many of these one-year $750,000 deals that it can be hard to keep track, like who's probably allocated to Rochester or earmarked for Rochester and who has a real legit shot to be a contributor up here. Hinostroza is someone you'd expect right now to be on the Sabres, right?
Yeah, well, what I'm looking at right now is Hinostroza, Butcher, Pesek, probably Hayden, because they signed Hayden for a reason. Mm-hmm. Again, when he was signed, I said it then, and I'll say it again. You know, I would prefer somebody who is better at hockey than him, but for a one-year deal, just to make Dahlin a little more comfortable and Joakim Haju a little more comfortable, I'm not totally against it. But, you know, I don't have a whole lot of use for a guy who can only play 4 or 5 minutes in a game. But, again, it's a one-year thing, People will say, well, yeah, but you could have had Nick Ritchie for around $2 million. And Nick Ritchie went to the Toronto Maple Leafs for that. He's not coming to the Buffalo Sabres for that. You know, if he's going to come to a losing team that's, you know, in flux right now, it's going to cost you more than if he's going to a team that is a playoff team and would be considered having a chance to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, so, you know, you have to understand that, too, that, sure, I would rather have the guy who scored 15 goals last year, who is very, very tough and can play a good bottom six. I mean, that's the guy I have in mind. That's the type of guy I have in mind. But he's not showing up here to play for $2 million. So, you know, you have to put that into consideration, too. But if you're looking at the free agents that I think are going to be around here, I didn't mention the goaltender either, Anderson. One, even if Lukanen makes a team one way or another, and then Dell, if Lukanen's not ready, or Dell would be in Roch or sit here as a third goalie if he is.
Yeah.
I like I'd like for him to be better at hockey. Going back in your comments, like, you know, if I'm looking for somebody to do my taxes, I'm not sure I care about how good they are at hockey. But in terms of playing for the Sabres, yes, I'm totally with you on that. I would
did
like
Anderson.
Who,
I'm sorry.
Who's better at hockey?
So Anderson talked. Did Anderson talk today too as well? Or
yes,
was that yesterday?
He did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What any takeaways from him at all? I know you wrote about Hinostroza, but I'm just curious, like, about Anderson because he's a real curiosity to me. I mean, at this, I mean, he's 40 years old. He's had a fantastic career. Most of it with Ottawa. Well, most successful part of it anyway with Ottawa, where he was their number one guy for years. But like, what are his expectations coming in here?
Yeah, he gave some thought with his family about moving on to do something else, retirement. But, you know, they decided that, you know, they're to a point as a family that give it another year. He still enjoys playing and is really looking forward to this opportunity. And what appealed to him is being a mentor, you know, for Luukkonen and still getting some playing time, too. But, you know, he likes that idea of being able to pass on knowledge to younger players and help them not fall into the pitfalls that he fell into. You know, he said, you know, in the beginning he thought he was working hard enough, but then he got put on waivers three times in a year and was bouncing around teams and then wound up in the minors and found out he wasn't putting forth the correct amount of effort. And, you know, he wants to help Luukkonen and that type of thing avoid the mistakes that he made. And one thing I told you when they signed him, you know, they're going the Bills route. And I told you, Adams and Bean speak regularly. They're looking for not only good players but good people and guys that can come in. And you won't find – you talk to people around the NHL, you won't find a better person than Anderson. And I don't think you'll find a better mentor for Luukkonen either, if they're really giving serious thought, which I think they are, to him, you know, being the I almost said starting quarterback, the starting goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres. I think he is going to be given every opportunity in training camp to be able to do that. And, you know, they're not going to rush him, I don't think. If he shows he's not ready, he's not ready. And then Dell will back up Anderson. But I don't think you can find a better person to help the kid out, especially for a year.
Paul Hamilton with us on the West Shore Hotline. Craig Anderson, a former teammate of Phil Housley's, going back to 2003 with Chicago. He was like, you know, several other goalies have taken this route where they're just sort of backups, and you mentioned waivers in the league 4 or 5 years before it was in Colorado after Florida, where he really got a team. He got the team, and then Ottawa. I mean, that's that team. What 2017? They were one goal from the finals,
right?
That Ottawa team that lost to Pittsburgh. So he had a
really
said
good it's
going
to be a little weird, you know, because he's had so many games against the Sabres. You know, with Ottawa, some intense games along the way. I mean, the Sabres weren't always like this. And so he said it is going to be different to be on the other side of it. And he goes, last year he didn't get a chance to play against Ottawa because he was in this division with Washington. But, you know, he said that's part of, you know, the NHL and things change. And he's actually looking forward to that opportunity to play against them.
Good of you to remind us that it hasn't always been this way. And yes, 34 appearances against the Sabres, which is more than he has against any other team. All right, Mark Pesek is in the article here. I read that. He is happy to be back?
Yeah, he is. And if you look at it, I don't think he ever got the proper opportunity. He never played a full season with the Sabres. It was always splitting time with Rochester and Buffalo. And, you know, then his first full 82-game season was his first year with the Florida Panthers. And Tim Murray was the general manager there. He basically looked at the analytics on Pesek and thought it was a bunch of hype and basically traded him for a guy, in my mind, was one of the worst defensemen to ever wear the blue and gold, and Dmitry Kulikov. He was just awful. And it just the trade at the time, I remember being at the draft and the trade at the time, I think I know Matthew Collar was in our coverage back then, who is heavy into analytics, and he just about flipped out. And especially when Murray called him an analytics darling in the press conference afterwards, in a bit of a mocking fashion. And you know, to me, it's a trade that blew up in his face totally, because know, Pesek had some good years in Florida until the last one when Joel Quenneville had no room for him and made him into a winger. And Pesek actually looked forward to an opportunity here to being a defenseman again, you know, being a full-time defenseman. Because he said even a couple of games in Dallas, they put him on wing last year when he signed in Dallas. So he's really looking forward to the opportunity, as he said, to reestablish himself as a full-time defenseman at the age of 29, which I think he'll be able to do. I think he's still a solid player and can be a solid player for the Sabres.
Yep, I liked him. I'm glad he's back. You know, the thing about this that might not be, it's being spoken of, but it's there, is like these signings, winning is really just not the point, right? I mean, winning is, for right now, maybe like in terms of Anderson or even Pesek, like you want to establish good habits and sort of a maybe get some renewed credibility as an organization with guys that, the pros, right? That sort of thinking. But as far as like winning games this year, the Sabres have, if I could, you know, you might not like think this or whatever, but like they sort of have the freedom to build their roster without sort of at least focusing on that, if even worrying about that at all.
Well, I you know, I'll be surprised if, I think there are going to be some games where we're going to go down to that arena and there are going to be less than 10,000 people there, because I think people, to a point now, it's like, show me, you know, don't talk about it. Don't talk about the long-term whatever. Show me what you can do. And, you know, trying to develop a winning organization is not through free agency, I don't believe, at least. So, you know, what they got in free agency is basically what I was expecting. I was expecting maybe a little more help for the bottom six, but I certainly wasn't expecting a lot of help for the top six, because in the National Hockey League, I fully believe this, to develop a team and to develop a winning team and to develop a top six, you need to do it through good drafting and you need to do it through good trades. And you definitely don't do it through unrestricted free agency. That's when you get into goofy contracts and then you can't make good trades because you got Jeff Skinner sitting around here for a cap number, a $9 million in a contract he signed in 2019 for 8 years. I mean, and they've had those contracts around their necks since Ville Leino, I mean, for off and on. So it's, to me, you know, it's, we'll see what they get in the Eichel trade if and when happens.
That's it, Paul. Like the thing that had, and I think this is even, was even or is still even a long shot, that the return in that trade would excite fans enough to sell lots of tickets, like to avoid the outcome you just, you know, sort of guessed at, 10,000 people in the building. I'm not saying, like, you make the right trade that changes dramatically, but I know you could hear it in my voice, and we would talk about the potential to get a couple of pieces that could be top-line difference-making type players in the NHL, if not right away, but in a year or two. I feel like that is slipping through their fingers. I'm not expecting that return in this trade anymore. It still could happen, but I'm very pessimistic about that, and I think that the only chance they had to excite their fans was to make that trade something they could really show off, and I don't know. I don't see that happening now.
I don't get optimistic or pessimistic waiting for trades because it can change at any time, so I stay very even-keeled about that kind of thing. But as far as what Mike was talking about winning, I mean, this year, there's really not much Adams can do when Eichel wants to leave, Reinhart wants to leave, Ristolainen wants to leave, Allmark wants to leave, and McCabe wants to leave. When all those players are tired of it here and want to leave and aren't willing, I mean, in McCabe's case, he wasn't willing. They tried to negotiate with him. He wasn't willing to negotiate with them. Allmark negotiated, but he wanted 6 years, 36. No. I mean, if that's what it takes to keep you here, no.
Right.
I mean, Eichel, for numerous reasons, doesn't want to be here. Reinhart, rightfully so, felt snubbed because he never got a long-term offer while he's watching Jeff Skinner sign contracts and everybody else, and he's got to sign a 1 or 2 year deal. Well, apparently the Sabres approached him for a long-term deal in Adams' case this year, I mean, you can't blame Adams for the pass, but he tried, and Reinhart just is tired of it and said, no, I'm not going to sign that here. You know, you could have kept him for one more year, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. So, again, you're behind the eight ball there. So when you're in a position where all those players are basically leaving, you're going to have a year or two. And it's unfortunate for the fans because the fans are tired of it. It's already gone 10 years, and now they got to go through at least – Two years minimum, and that's minimum, I think, of depending on what the return is for Eichel of more of this. But when your best players just don't want to be here around here anymore, and they hold the hammer a little bit, where you just can't keep them, I mean that's the situation they're in. So now they basically have a young nucleus of some players, and they've got a, you know, Power, I think, is going to be a good addition to them eventually, but they basically have to start with those guys and build with those guys and try to build around that and move forward with that, but it's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, like that's all the case. And so, again, like if you're the GM or a fan or anybody, what's reasonable to expect for this season? I mean, that talking about the signings they've made and so on, probably not a lot. You want to pay for it, you know, for tickets, that's up to you. You never know, but kind of feels that way. So it's just like, all right, well, what are your objectives as a GM? Really, like you don't need your veteran signings to elevate you, really. Like at least in the short term, you don't need that.
Right. You just need them to come here and be pros
and get you through it.
Right. And not be upset about the situation and not be too dragged down by the losing that almost inevitably is going to come.
And you've got a couple of very interesting young players now. You might want to have two more, say, after Eichel. Mm-hmm. And then next year you can have a couple more, and then you can be something. And we'll see what kind of coaching they get and if they can, you know, we've seen it before in Sabres past where, like, they're not good yet, but you can sort of smell it, right? You can sort of sense, like, this, all right, this could get interesting. And I think fans in this town would respond to that.
And I look at guys like Jack Quinn and Luukkonen in goal. I mean, they've expected him basically to be the goaltender for a couple of years now. You know, that's going to be the future of the goaltender. And Jack Quinn, I mean, this is a guy that scored goals at every level and, you know, is a number one pick that I think they're looking forward to and also could do big things for them, not next year, but in the next year or two, and mm-hmm. to be able to fill in and have an opportunity to play and opportunity to maybe thrive. I don't think this is the year, but those are two guys especially that I look at. And even the kid at the University of Minnesota, Johnson, really progressed well as a defenseman last year. And, you know, I think it's also a guy, in addition to Power, that they can look at the blue line. And that's just talking about some youngsters. But, again, we just keep getting back to this year. That's not going to help them this year.
Right.
Paul, thanks.
Yep, take care, guys.
All right, great job. Paul Hamilton on our Wester Hotline, and his appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
John Clayton joins us. We'll find out how his summer has been going after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.